to God. Hallelujah. Let's teach, let's teach. Ah, hallelujah. We don't just do theoretical Christianity. So we see the glory, we know. It's right here in our midst. Hallelujah. All right, get your Bibles, your books, and your pen. I had an issue titling this, but I don't know what the media team has titled it for me. Maybe by the end, we'll know where we are going to. All right, let's start. Are we ready? Right, the Christian life, another word that describes the Christian life is called faith. The word that scripture uses to describe the Christian life is faith. And Christianity or the religion, Christianity as a religion, also described or aptly termed faith. Let's see examples in scripture. Acts chapter 6. Acts 6. Are we there? Number 6. Acts 6:6. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You see there, the faith. When you see the faith there, what does it mean? Religion, belief, Christianity. Let's see Acts 13. Acts 13. Verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Same meaning. Turning away the deputy from believing and accepting that religion of the faith. Let's see Acts 16. Acts 16:5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Romans 1. Verse 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So we see from these examples that the word faith is also an embodiment or a summary of Christianity. That word faith embodies Christianity to us. Why? Because faith is not only symbolic of all we hold there, is not just a symbol of what we hold there, or that we hold there, but it is the foundation, the pillar, the basis for which we are distinct. Faith is the foundation for which we have the distinction as believers. Believers, those who believe. Faith. Let's see Ephesians. We're going to see that the Christian life is birthed by faith, is lived by faith, is sustained by faith. Birthed by faith, sustained by faith, lived by faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved. I think I'm getting too fast. Ephesians 2:8. Okay. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we see that faith there is fundamental to the belief or to being a believer. Your identity as a new creature, faith is the basis for that. You're saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 1. A lot of scriptures. We just, this is an introduction, so we just read a few. Ephesians 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1, 13. Read there. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So we see that, yeah, the foundation or the entry point in Christianity is faith. After you believed, that is the foundation, the beginning point. To be a believer, you must believe. John 3. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Divine, open, right, fast, and open. Verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10. Scriptures are replete with a lot of examples, a lot of pointers to tell us that faith is the foundation for all that we are. Romans chapter 10. All that we are springs from faith. All that we are. The 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we see again that faith is the source of all that we are. Christian life is birthed by faith. Why? Because there is nothing in the details of the gospel that should make sense to the natural man. Just try and analyze it. What were you told? That a man who said he was God came on earth, died for sins, for people that did not even send him, they did not ask him to. He died, then he resurrected by himself, and he's no more, so that we can even see him. He ascended, and says, believe this. And if you believe this, you become a new creature. But don't worry, the new creature, we can't see it. It's inside. The Holy Ghost is inside of you. You can't see it. But don't worry. You have eternal life by just believing. And eventually, even though you die, you have an immortal body. Does it make sense? It looks like a scam. You know when you're trying all these MMM people, Ponzi scheme people, when they just try to tell you, don't worry, just bring the money. It's sure, it's sure, it's sure. You know that kind of thing. How do you address those kind of people with that weary attitude, like this person wants to dupe me? That's how it sounds. If you remove faith from the message, it will look like a scam. That is why you are told to just believe. And then upon believing, it starts making sense. Abi? Now, do you understand? Does it look like a scam to you anymore? It doesn't. Now it makes sense. So you are just told, accept these details, believe it, and upon believing, it makes sense. That is why the religion of Christianity aptly summarized as faith. The faith. Okay, so we progress. That faith is not abstract. Faith, where we're talking about, finds its source, its strength, and sustenance in that message and work of Jesus. This faith we're referring to finds its source, its strength, and sustenance in the message and the work of Jesus. Let's see Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Are you there? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you see their faith, their Jesus being a source, perfecter, all that summarizes what faith is to the believer. Jesus. Jesus. So from this, we can see clearly that faith is primarily, please note this, faith is primarily and fundamentally to birth the will of God. Faith is primarily to birth the will of God. Let's see Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. You see a long read there. But the summary is that everyone called an hero of faith here, everyone referenced here, was in relation to that message and work of Jesus. What the Bible congratulated them for as faith, what they were hailed for as faith, was in response to the message, to Jesus. That was what their faith was tied to. That was what their faith was attributed to. Unfortunately, the perversion with regards to faith now is that Believers only think about faith when it's time to get a job or a contract or healing or a child or a boo or something. That is when we start remembering all the mantra of faith. You shall have what you say, you shall do this one, you should do that. When it's time to meet needs. But that is not what the scripture shows us as a fundamental part of faith. What faith is primarily used for. According to the scripture here, faith is fundamental primarily to bet the will of God for that message. Why? Why can we say this confidently? Because before man ever needed anything physical, before needs came, faith was necessary. Was Adam required to have faith? Yes. Was it faith for a bull or for a contract or for physical things? No. He was required to have faith in relation to what God has said, God's intention. Faith was required from the beginning, from Adam, not for physical things, but for that same intention of God. I'm taking this as slow as I can, so I don't want to lose you anywhere. Man was to believe God's intention and enter into it, right? Was that, that was the first thing that was demanded from Adam, from man. Faith, believe, receive God's intention, receive God's plan. That same faith. So it's not a different message today. It's not a different requirement. Still the same faith, same requirement from the beginning, same thing that it is now. Faith in that message. Faith in that message. So, please write this clearly. It is irreverence and selfishness. Irreverence and selfishness to see faith primarily and only as a means to meeting your needs. It is irreverence and selfishness to see faith primarily and only as a means to meeting your needs. Faith existed before needs. Faith is primarily for something much more bigger. God's will, God's intention. Did we get that? Understand me so far? Okay. Now, of course, when we say faith as well, faith does not exist in a vacuum. For there to be faith or unbelief, we know that there must be a message, right? So there must be a message for us to say faith is required. Let's see Isaiah 53. Faith. There is no faith, no unbelief without a message. When you see faith being required, you must always look for the corresponding report or message they are to exercise that faith in. Are we in Isaiah 53:1? All right, so who has believed our report and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, the word report there, it means news, tidings, or announcement. Report means news, tidings, or announcement. That means there must be something communicated to be believed. Who has believed our news? Who has believed our announcement? And that verse also tells us something. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now that whole arm, whom is the arm? One word. And it describes power, strength, might. Power, strength, might. That is what it describes there. The power of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, the might of the Lord. And of course, revealed means to uncover, to discover, to disclose anyone you can relate with. So, based on that, it means that the report is the power of the Lord. The power of the Lord is in the report. The strength, the arm of the Lord, the power of the Lord, the mind of the Lord is embedded in the report. That means when we say a message has been communicated. The power, there's no other way I can say it. The power of the Lord is inside that message. And then believing that message discloses the power or brings the power to the fore, brings it out, makes it available. This is emphasizing the importance of believing. Trying to see the best way I can. Okay. You know these tea bags, right? Lipton. No one's, Lipton just comes in a case. You just open and just put inside water, right? But there are other tea bags that are wrapped individually. So individually is wrapped. Now, if you are on, I saw a comment session one day on one site that people wanted to buy something. They were trying to buy a particular tea. And the tea, they are wrapped individually. So somebody was saying, there's nothing about this tea. I've tried to boil all my pack and it's still coming out like water. So someone just commented and like, did you tear it? So you're like, So what she has been doing since was to put the tea inside and in the case inside water. And of course, nothing will come out. So for her to get the result or to get the tea, she must unwrap it, right? So that is how the message is. So the message, the power of God is embedded inside the message, and faith is the opening of the wrap. Like you break canal to bring out those things people used to show Gary. Like that's all I'm trying to say. Faith is what brings it out. So as mighty as the power of God is, as powerful as it is locked up inside the message. Without faith, it will look like an ordinary message. This is because faith receives. Faith receives. When God says something, as far as it is on God's path, it is done. As long as it's in God's own portfolio, it is done already. It is done. However, it is left for man to receive. Because if God has said something, then it's accomplished. Nothing else is necessary on God's path. But for man, man must receive. And how he receives is by faith. It is the job of the man to call the things that are not as do they were, because it actually already is in God's part. Do you understand all this, my? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah, I'm just going around saying the same thing all over. Let's see Romans 4. Romans 4. Oh, glory, glory. Romans 4, 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. So the message that came is, I have made thee. Done, right? I have made thee a father of many nations. Before whom he believed. Of course, previous series, we have looked at each of those words there. Whom he believed. We realized that is not God he was describing. Who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. Verse 18, we'll explain it further for you. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. That means something has been spoken, and this what was spoken was, it is done. But what Abraham is seeing is not yet done. So Abraham had to call those things which be not as though they were. Why? Because it is done on God's part. But Abraham must receive by faith. So you see to the end, you see him when he was fully persuaded. I mean, Abraham realized that God will keep telling me, I have made you. I have made you. You are this. You are that. And until he receives it, it will not be his own reality. It won't be his own reality. So that means on this angle, we have God's reality. And on this other angle, we have man's reality. Then the bridge between the two, the connection is faith. So, God's reality here, man's reality, God's world, man's world, the connection between them is faith. Faith is what makes our reality God's reality, or what makes God's reality our reality. Faith. That is why in our series, Effectiveness in Prayer, we were told that when you get to heaven, you will not find what? One unanswered prayer. You won't find it. So if you feel you have suffered, that you have gone through life, you have cried for things and it did not happen, and you are just saying, when I get to heaven, I will ask God, what did I do? Did I not pray enough? If you have been consoling yourself like that, anyway, when you get to heaven, you need to be consoled more. Because you realize that you will not find one unanswered prayer. There will be no basis to you for you to say, God, you did not do it. Because it will be, you did not receive. That is how faith is. So for us, it is believe and see. Not see and believe. You know, Wednesday and Friday in our series, what we just finished, the Sane Mind, we have realized again that our operating system is different from the natural man's operating system. Natural man will want evidence, he wants to see to believe. But for us, we are told believe and see. Let's see John 20. John chapter 20. Verse 24. John 20:24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into the plenty requirements, into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Then Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Verse 29, let's read together. Said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So, Jesus already gave us an inkling that, see, it is not for us. It is not see and believe. It is believe and see. The blessed ones, we are the blessed ones. Christians are the blessed ones. For us, it is, you have not seen, yet you believe. You have not seen, yet you believe. That is what is required and demanded of us. That is what faith demands. You have not seen, yet you believe. Because of how important faith is, we have recognizable tools or ways to identify faith, the presence or absence of faith. Because of how necessary it is that faith be present, we are not in doubt of how to know whether we have faith or not, or we are rightly expressing faith. We have how to judge, point us to judge it. Difference between faith and unbelief. Let's just see some few examples. Few examples. We ready? All right, Matthew 8. Matthew 8. Who shall be the poor? 23, Matthew 8:23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. All right, now look at verse 25 and 26. What's the difference? If Jesus was rebuking them for not having faith, then what was different about what they did and what he did that showed faith? From verse 25 and 26, what's the difference? Read and see, then tell me. So what can we see that there was no fear in Jesus, or he wasn't fearful for him to rebuke them and say you were faithless? So what was the difference between what they did and what he did? What both said. So these ones were crying like helpless, but he rebuked the winds and spoke peace to the situation. That means we can judge faith by what we see you say or do. There must have been a difference in their actions for Jesus to rebuke them and say they were faithless. And that difference is the response, what he did and what he said. So from what we see you do and what we hear you say, we can rightly say if there is faith here or not. It's not abstract. It's not you have faith by faith. I believe that I have faith. No, we can judge. Let's see Matthew 9. Matthew 9:1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. How did Jesus see their faith? So their actions of, if you see another account, I think that was Mark, how they removed the roof and then put him down, you will see that their actions show that this man will be healed when Jesus does something. So, faith is correctly seen and judged by actions, response. We can see it in the actions of people all over the scriptures. The centurion person, when Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith, the centurion, man, what was the action of the centurion? Don't come, speak the word, it shall be as you have said. And Jesus said, wow, such great faith. The Syrophoenician woman, don't worry, anything at all. The dogs eat the crumbs, great faith. So faith is not seen in a vacuum. We can judge it. That, hey, from how a person responds, what he says, what he does, we can point and say there is faith here or unbelief. So clearly, all those things, I've been saying all these things as foundation. From Genesis, faith is man agreeing with the intention of God. Rose, are you here? From Genesis, faith is man agreeing with the intention of God, with what God has said. When man agrees with what God has said, then we say there is faith. When man refuses what God has said, we say this is unbelief. What has God said? Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. Try and wrap this up in 10 minutes. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the earth, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And of course, we know that the Genesis account, Genesis 1 to 3 accounts, are physical things that have much more spiritual significance, right? So, of course, we know that God's intention there, man in my image, refers to man in Christ, refers to salvation. And it replenishing the earth and filling the whole earth and subduing it still speaks about the fact that that intention of God is going to be for the whole earth. Going to be, this dominion will be for the whole earth. The whole earth. That is clear in God's intention, what God has said. Don't forget, you see, faith is man agreeing with what God has said, with the intention of God. Now, Jesus, that God became a man, Jesus, what did he say? Of course, when we see what Jesus has said, it's also the same thing as what God has said. Now, let's see Matthew 28. For there to be faith, there must be a message. And we say faith is fundamentally and primarily agreeing with what God has said. So for us to know if we are having the response or the appropriate response, we must first of all know clearly what has been said, right? So that is all we have been saying so far. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Of course, you see all power there. It's not talking about the power to make Buhari president. It's talking about power with respect to what he has done, because this is after his resurrection. So, power regarding salvation. Then verse 19, go ye therefore, based on this, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So what is the faith there? What is the message there? That power with regards to salvation for man is available. And it is for the whole earth. Teach all nations, tribes, clusters of people. This power, this authority is for all. Mark 16. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24, all the world there, all the world. Luke 24, 46. Luke 24, 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts 1. Acts 1. Verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That word uttermost there means extension, the farthest part, the ends of the earth. So, this is the message. Gospel, salvation in Christ for all men everywhere in the whole earth. the whole earth. So, if we believe salvation, believe the salvation plan of God, then we must believe this too. As in, if we believe that salvation is by faith in Christ alone, then we must also believe that salvation is for the whole earth. It's everywhere. It's for every man, everywhere. Because same utterance, same prophecies came regarding both. We have a teaching, the world before us, where we examine through the Old Testament portion the prophecies with regards to the fact that the gospel will be for every man, everywhere. So you cannot say you believe that salvation is by faith in Christ, and then you don't believe that it is possible that the whole earth can be saved. Believe the plan, you must also believe this one. And of course, believing is more than a mental assent. That's what we're trying to say, that we can identify faith. It's not just agreeing in your mind that, there must be corresponding actions. It is through those actions we can see if there is faith there or not. If we say there is a message, which is salvation for all men everywhere, and we believe it, then there are certain things we will see that characterizes that. For example, if I ask you, did Paul believe the salvation plan that is for the whole earth, what would be your answer? Why would you be able to say that? Because of the things he said and the things he did. Right, let's see some places. Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 13. Now, are we there? Romans 1:13. Now, I will not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the Gentiles, other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So we see the things that Paul said. See words like saying, I am a debtor. That means I owe men the gospel. A man can say, I am owing somebody. The way you owe somebody money or something, you say, I'm a debtor to men for this gospel. I owe them this gospel. And he says, I am ready. The word ready there talks about eagerness, prepared, willingness, alacrity. I am a debtor. I owe men this gospel, and I am ready to do it. Preach everywhere. Everywhere. Romans 15. Romans 15. From verse 15. With them. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ had not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Now we are going to just examine some of those specific words that were used there. Let's see. He's saying, I have preached roundabout from Jerusalem, roundabout. That means, of course, he's talking about the sphere of influence, roundabout Illyricum. Where man says, I have fully covered the particular sphere. All right. I advise strived. One meaning of that word strive there is ambition. When you are aiming to do something, to make it your aim, to be ambitious. So Paul is saying his ambition was to preach in places where no man has heard. That means I have fully strived to preach where in places where the gospel has not been heard. Verse 21 now says why. He said, as it is written. That means there is a prophecy here that those who have not seen shall see, and those that have not heard shall hear, right? And Paul says, it means that those who have not heard the gospel will hear it. So because it is written that those who have not heard must hear, I have made it my ambition to preach where Christ has not been made known. Do you understand? So, if we now say there is an utterance like this, and we want to judge if Paul believes that, how can we see it clearly that he has faith in that utterance? By his actions. By the fact that he has, that strife there, I need to see it clearly. He said, I have made it my ambition. You know how you set targets and goals? My own ambition, my own aim is to fully preach in places where no man has heard the gospel. That is what we see in Paul's ministry. A man who had faith and believed in that intention of God for the gospel in the whole earth. That's what we see. When you hear utterances like Africa will be flooded with light, the gospel will take over Northern America, what is your response to that? And I heard someone make a mockery of that statement, and it made it look like that is an overzealous statement, that you don't see things like that. Nobody can reach the world. Just do your own and go. It sounds sensible, right? But that is a disgrace to the plan of God. Do you understand? Because if Jesus said, go ye into all the world, preach among all nations, would you say Jesus did not know what he was doing or what he was saying? So how we show up, how we prove that we believe those things is in our own response. So when you hear things like Northern Nigeria, the gospel will prevail. And of course, for those of you that have traveled, when you went to Kebbi, Sokoto, Taraba, you've seen firsthand, right? How it looks like, that almost looks like an impossible statement, right? You just see everywhere you're going, jab, 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 yes? And then you hear, Northern Nigeria, the gospel will prevail here. And you're my ally. You really believe that? Where we started from? Faith is primarily to bet the will of God. It is irreverence to just see faith. When a person is really sick, bedridden and the rest, and you say, just believe that the person will be healed. Because you want the healing, what do you do? You see beyond the physical, right? And they are just, yes, it is possible. But when it becomes the gospel, say, the gospel will prevail here. This whole place that it looks like there is no church. All these men will serve the Lord. And you just, glory, glory, glory. I'm done with this session. Do you believe that? Do you believe? Say I'm a believer. Say I'm a believer. That's where we started from. That faith is what made us who we are, first of all. Nothing makes sense. If salvation, the details of the gospel, did not make sense for you to believe, why is it that other things must now make sense for you to be accepted? Why must it look like evangelizing the north must be possible in your mind for you to believe it? You must see some pointers at least. Let us see more persons responding. Let us see more churches for you to believe. You are not believer. You are not an unbeliever. Say, I'm a believer. The persons who act like that, you are tempted to ask, are you an unbeliever? Are you? When you hear utterances like this, just ask, is this what God has said? Because faith is to believe what God has said. As God said this, God has said it, then it's not impossible. Simple. As God said it, then it's not impossible. You don't need to see to believe. You don't need validations from men first to believe. You don't need to see that 100,000 persons are now saved. Therefore, you now say, it's true. The Lord is doing a mighty work here. Don't be an unbeliever. As God said it, then believe it. If you can exercise faith in physical things, if you can exercise faith for your health, if you can exercise faith for physical needs to be met, much more, you can exercise faith for this work. That the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God's glory. It's possible. You must see it. Why? Because if you do not believe it, you will not see it. If it was possible to just let us see first, then, well, that is not how faith works. For us, it is believe and see. Believe and see. Believe and see. So how often is it in your utterance that, hey, despite circumstances to the contrary, or evidence to the contrary, the gospel will yet prevail in Kebbi. Even though now it looks like all churches are moved to one corner, just one street, all churches. If you're going to have a church, you must find yourself there. If you don't have a venue there, you're on your own. And of course, now that development has come, when they were telling us the history, then that place used to be like their burial ground, where in quotes, their own cost area, like where nobody should go to. Same thing in Sokoto. Go and find your church there. But you still say, this whole place, we will be struggling to find mosque. You know, it takes a lot to say that. You must be fully persuaded on the fact that, as God said it, forget. It is not a function of you, your own. On God's part, what is it done, right? It is now for you to say, it is not impossible. Say not in your heart. Say not in your heart. Say not in your heart. So much more we can exercise faith for this. We can. This is what we primarily use faith for. Brethren, this is what we majorly use faith for. Faith. The faith that we have. Majorly use it for this. Majorly. We don't begin Christianity with sense knowledge. We don't do anything in Christianity with sense knowledge. We don't. We began by faith and sustained by faith. We don't see to believe. We believe and we see. Because expecting to see, that is the faith. There must be an expectation. They're not just saying it because they are just saying there is an expectation. PPE, right? Pray, preach, and expect. You must actively expect. Let's see our last scripture, Hebrews. It is not impossible. As God said it, then it's not impossible. As God said it, then it's not impossible. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6, let's read together. Alright, so I read verse 5 again and you read verse 6 together. Let your conversation be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will not never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6, let's go. There we see the principle how it operates. God says this, so you can boldly say. God has given his own word, his own intention, made it known that this is what will happen. You are to boldly say, this is what will happen. In your words, in your actions, this is what will happen. You can't fight the battle on two fronts, trying to get men saved and yet still trying to still make ourselves believe it. Ha! Huh? That is why when persons say things like, when you're trying to teach them about salvation being eternal, and they say, if you really say that it's eternal, then there's no need for you to be emphasizing it like that. Have you heard people say that? And there's no need for you to be emphasizing it like that. Now, after all, if you say it, then leave it. You don't have to be shouting and being loud about it. It's funny. Because you need understanding to birth your own zeal. The energy you take to be trying to preserve the salvation, wrap it in foil paper and the rest so that it doesn't spoil, is supposed to be expended on this mission. So, for you that have correctly believed, what is now your own drawback? Understanding frees you up for service. Understanding is meant to free you up from for service. Understanding is meant to free you up from service. We that have understood that this is God's plan, we that have understood that all that is required of us is this, then we have no more limitations, no more drawback. We are to boldly say, it is not impossible. It is not impossible. It is not impossible. It is not impossible. Not impossible. The gospel predates man. More powerful than any other thing on earth. It just needs faith to unlock that power in it. It's not impossible. Not impossible. Scripture has said that of the increase of his government and of his peace there shall be no end. And that is what we'll see. We will not be the ones saying we are ceding ground, or Islam is gaining more ground, or this one is gaining more ground. Not impossible. See that song we sing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross, lift up his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. It is in your hands, it is in my hands. But before we progress to that, we must first of all agree it is not impossible. So if I say the entire nation of Nigeria, we all have men, sons everywhere, sons of God, what should be your response? It's possible. It is possible. That is all we need to actually bear, because there is an urgency that understanding this gives to you. There is a sense of urgency it gives to you when you understand that, hey, when you understand the severity of the work ahead, and knowing that you are not on the losing team. So when you are given a task that it feels like you cannot do it, no matter what you do, what will be your response? Don't even bother trying. What's the point? Then let's just do and go. They are told, they are giving you, somebody gives you 1 million books and say, read each of the book has 1,000 pages. And say, let's say read it in 1 year. No, 1 year is even a lot. Let's say read it in 1 month. 1 million books. What will be your default response? What will be your normal default response? So we leave mother trying. Maybe we say, if you finish this thing, I will give you all of Dangote's money. I'll dash you. If you can finish this 1 million books of 1 million pages each in 1 month. You see, this faith is what you primarily need to bet the will of God. You understand? Because normally, you would just feel like, I beg, if you don't want to give me money, not give me. That's what you would just think. Like, I beg, that the person has made the criteria because he doesn't want to give you. Nah, I beg, I face my life. But knowing that it is something you can do, what would happen if maybe it was finish your Bible, Genesis to Revelation, in 1 month, and I will give you 1 million naira? What will you do? As you wake up in the morning like this, in fact, you won't even sleep. Coffee. Someone is talking to you, calm down, I'm coming. Why? Because you know that it is a possible thing and this is what awaits you. That is how we must have the mindset that, hey, because don't just hear the gospel will prevail and then you just sit like, possible. That belief holds you strong. Let's be on our feet. I say again, if you can have faith for physical things, you can have faith even much more for this. Much more for this one. And we just keep seeing utterances springing up at different places every time. Africa, get ready. Be prepared. What is your default response to that? Should be joy. Like, yes, it is possible. Yeah, Kebi. It is possible. Default response. God has said, so you can boldly say, not just say, boldly say, confidently, because God has said, your confidence in the fact that God has said. So that's what we're going to be praying as we continue in the service. We're going to be praying concerning this, that it is not impossible, that this intention of God, that the whole earth be filled with the knowledge of God's glory, is not impossible. I don't see impossibility in it. No. It is not impossible. Pray until it becomes like bread to you. Like when stones become bread. And then you just see like, wow, it's not a big deal. If normally you just hear that Northern Nigeria for the Lord. And for you, it's just one thing that will happen, maybe one day. If that is still your mindset, pray until it stops being that. That you can actually see sons of God everywhere. That you can see men taking up the gospel, believing it and taking it up as ministry. More men just arising. That tongues will not be something that is strange. And now that we are still trying to convince people, speak in tongues, and they are still seeing it as one thing. Hey, it will get to the point where all sons of God are speaking in tongues everywhere. Everywhere. We have received utterances of people throwing down hijabs and pulling and throwing it away, and they just blast in tongues. We will see it. It will happen. We will see it happen because we believe it. Because we believe it, we will see it happen. Because we believe it. Because we believe it. Oh, it's not impossible. If you have ever exercised faith for healing, if you have ever exercised faith for a need to be met, you can believe this. You can believe this. You can. You can. You can. You can. And you can give the appropriate responses. Manon Sheregeti Bokum Palekete. Sons of Avikam Rompogo Setala da Vogum Brusa. Eke Sevo Shamakapa Suso Pregeti Kovonda Brada da.